Welcome to Passionate and Practical, the art of dreaming, doing, and serving. I'm your host, Lexi Bozarth, and today's episode is the first of my summer series. My summer series is simply me getting on the mic by myself to chat about things that I am passionate about and I believe that God's called me to speak about. If you're listening, my little baby girl has probably been born, which is why I'm recording all of these ahead of time. So right now I'm 36 weeks pregnant, but once you're listening to this, I have a little baby girl in my arms. So thankful for you all just continuing to follow along with Passionate and Practical and what we're doing. And hopefully I can give you some encouraging words to kind of live on and dwell on this summer from the scripture and from God. So first and foremost, I want to introduce the topic of today, which is being bold and fearless. What does scripture say about it? Why my background allows me to speak about this? And just talking about the gospel and why it is so important for us as Christians to live counterculturally in the way that we respond to fear and anxiety. So first off, what does scripture say about fear? This is a very important place to start because it's where we should start when we're talking about any topic. God is very serious about a few things, and fear not is one of them. The internet and Pinterest tell me that there are at least 365 times in the Bible telling us not to fear, which means that there's a reminder every single day of the year not to fear. Now, I have no idea if that's accurate or not, but Google and Pinterest tell me yes. Another thing that I read said over 80 times the quote, don't fear or fear not is used over 80 times. So regardless if it's 80 or 365, it is important to God's heart that we aren't fearing. And so Isaiah 43:1 says, don't fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name and you are mine. How amazing. We are his. He is a good father and he cares for us. Sometimes when I have questions about God, I think about parenting and parenting in the purest and most loving form. And we don't want our children to fear, right? And we know that they're protected. And we know that even though they're scared of, maybe it's scared of the dark, or they are scared to take this step in the direction of going down the stairs or going up the stairs for the first time. These little things that we know that they're going to be okay and we're protecting them, they are fearful. And so we tell them, don't fear, you are okay. And that's exactly what our Heavenly Father does for us. Another scripture that I absolutely love, and it's probably one of my favorite scriptures, is 1 John 4:18. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. And if we're fearing, we're not loving perfectly. And so for me, that is just a reminder that if we want to do life alongside one another, alongside our spouse, our kids, our neighbors, if we want to do ministry, we cannot fear. And we cannot, there's no room for fear in loving people. And sometimes that fear walks itself out differently in different relationships, right? Sometimes people that are fearing in relationships have trust issues. Some people that are fearing in relationships have anger issues because instead of being vulnerable, they resort to being angry. Some people fear looks like abandoning their friends when they're going through a hard time because they just don't know how to dive into the hard topics of what they're going through, or vice versa, being that friend that's going through a hard time and not allowing our friends to walk through this with us. I think that so often we disassociate fear and worry with our relationship with God. And I couldn't disagree more and think it is so intertwined in our faith. And faith is the opposite of fear. And fear is the opposite of love. And so for me, My background is, let me just throw one more scripture at you and then I'll share a little bit about my background. Deuteronomy 31:8 says, "He will never leave you or forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." We know that He isn't going anywhere. And so He's usually carried us through something tough. And then we're like, praise God, hallelujah. And then we find something else to fear about. And then we say, praise God, hallelujah, I got through that. God is good. God is gracious. But then we fear about something else. And I just really want to encourage you all to get in the practice of laying your burdens down at the foot of the cross. And this looks like admitting that we are fearful people. And it's not the absence of fear, rather the invitation of faith and God's presence into our fear that is going to help us overcome. We in and of ourselves cannot be fearless. We cannot be all things to all people. We cannot overcome some of the natural worries and anxieties that we have in our lives, but we can invite Jesus into them. And that is what I'm promoting and what I want you to do. I'm not saying to be the most courageous person or be bold and be fearless and not think twice about the way that your relationship with God impacts that. I'm saying the opposite. I'm saying once you do have fear and once you do have worry, invite the Lord into it and He will help you to overcome these things that we worry about. So my background, I grew up in a home that fear was not welcome. I grew up in a household that my dad, when I was in middle school, I grew up in the suburbs of Orlando, very safe neighborhood. My parents left the doors unlocked. And I was watching a lot of horror movies and scary movies. And so I was very paranoid. And I called my dad one day and I was like, Dad, I hear a noise and I think someone's coming into the house. And he straight up hung up on me because he thought I was being ridiculous. And I called him back and I was like, why did you hang up on me? Someone could be breaking in. And he said, Lexi, no one's breaking in. You're paranoid. And until you stop watching scary movies, I'm not going to listen to you talk about why you're so scared. And that stuck with me clearly since then, because he was absolutely right. I was allowing fear into my life, which was truly allowing Satan into my life to whisper in my ear. He doesn't know. When we invite God and when we invite Jesus to come and live in us and dwell in us and be our Savior, he gives us the Holy Spirit, and we are able to communicate with Him because He lives in us. He knows our thoughts. He knows our actions. He knows our every move. Satan's not like that. He doesn't get to know our thoughts. He doesn't get to know our worries, but he does get to whisper in our ear. And that is the difference between Jesus and the enemy. And so, but the enemy does know what makes us scared because he's seen it played out. So for us, it is so important to keep going back to Jesus when we fear and to eliminate things that cause us to fear. For instance, if it is politics that is making you think that our nation is going down the crap hole, then stop watching the news. I'm not kidding. I'm telling you right now, if you cannot stand what's on TV and it is making you a worrywart and you are just overly just obsessed and paranoid because what's going to happen to our nation because of what's going on in the political world, then stop watching it. And if you find yourself extremely fearful about your health, stop Googling every time that you have some kind of small cough and then it turns into I have cancer and I'm dying. When your kid is sick and you decide to that you're going to figure out what they're sick with, and then it really leads you down a rabbit trail of disastrous thoughts that you think that something is way worse than it actually is, stop doing that? What are these areas in our lives that we are open to allowing fear in? And I'm not saying not to be cautious, and I'm not saying not to be prudent with our decisions. And when there's someone that looks sketchy and is acting sketchy, that we keep our distance from them. But what I am saying is that we have got to stop allowing so much worry and fear and anxiety into our lives. So we have to ask God, God, where am I worrying? And maybe when you're listening to this, you know exactly what it is. For some single women, it might be, I'm never going to get married. Girl, that was me a couple years ago. I'm not even kidding. 2015. In December, I met my husband. It's 2019, not December, and we are married and are about to have two kids. So lots of life can happen, and God will provide in ways that you have no idea is coming. And even when there are storms that come, it is okay. We still are not allowed to fear. That's the crazy part, right? We are called to have joy through the trials. Because the gospel doesn't promise safety. The gospel doesn't promise safety or comfort. It usually demands the opposite. It calls us out of safety and out of comfort to be love to our neighbors. It calls us out of comfort in the way that we live. Maybe we feel called for a season, like my husband and I have, to live in a neighborhood that a lot of people don't believe is safe, but we love this neighborhood, and it's a third Black, a third white, a third Hispanic, so it's extremely diverse, which also means that it's diverse in its income, and also it can be, sometimes there's shenanigans that go on in my neighborhood, and Blake and I just really felt called to love our neighbors and care for people that don't look like us, and sometimes that just means saying hello to our neighbors and being friendly, and other times it means inviting people into our home, and that depends on the Holy Spirit to direct us in the way that we lean on Him to help us with those relationships. But what would happen if you were to live on purpose? It would be vulnerable and it would be risky, but you will never feel so alive than when you do that. And I think that fear often prevents us from living out our calling and purpose. And so that's another reason not to fear. God has something so unique for us. He has gifts that He wants to give us. He has influence that He wants us to have. And He wants us to have peace. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the Mighty God, the Holy One, Emmanuel, God with us. And so if He is telling us not to fear, we better take Him up on His offer, because it is truly a better life when we're not fearing. The other thing I want to share about is being bold. What does being bold look like? It doesn't mean getting on social media and getting in fights with people that are on the opposite of the tracks than you when it comes to political hot button political issues. Really, I think that stuff should stay off of Facebook and be more of a conversation that people have face to face. People can be very nasty and throw articles and opinions and a lot of hatred over social media. But once you get someone in front of you over coffee or a meal, or even having them over to your house to just ask, why do you think this way? And what brought you to this conclusion? It's much more of a peaceful conversation, and I do believe that it brings more glory to God that way. But what I do mean when I say be bold is stand up for those without a voice. We are called to love and care for the orphans and the widows. We're called to love God with our whole hearts, and we're called to love our neighbor as ourselves. So when in our lives have we allowed fear to keep us from being bold in loving those that are hard to love because someone doesn't look like us, or they're from a different country and they speak a different language? Don't allow the toughness of maybe a language barrier to be the reason that we don't talk to our neighbors, or the person that clearly is homeless. Don't allow that to predict the way that you see them, and the way that you interact with them. Our lives as Christians should look radically different than our unbelieving neighbors. The way that we talk to the people in the line at Publix or Whole Foods, or the way that we interact at the doctor's offices to the people that are working at the front desk, or the way that we wait patiently in line for something that some kind of customer service that is really frustrating us, the way that we interact with our neighbors, the way that we are generous with our money and our time and our talents. We are called to be countercultural, and I believe that in 2019, people are more scared than ever. They fear everything, and anxiety is probably one of the top mental disorders running rampant in our country and around the globe. And I do believe in medicine, don't get me wrong, but I also believe in the power of claiming life over our fears. And sometimes these things go hand in hand, and sometimes it has a dose of medicine, a dose of bringing it to Jesus, and a dose of counseling, and sometimes it's more of one than the other. I am not at all, and hear me clearly, I am not at all saying that if your doctor has you on medication, you shouldn't be on it. What I am saying, however, is that if it's not a diagnosable anxiety, but you're just a worrywart, I think I'm saying that right, then this is a great opportunity to just find peace and rest in Scripture. How often are you getting in the Word? Are you in a small group? Are you plugged into a local body of other believers? These things, I'm telling you, will help you to not worry as much. And then also, my dad always told me, when you have an issue and you put it into the bucket of issues of people around the world, you would beg to have yours back. And that is just such great perspective. And I think that it's so true, because oftentimes when we're so self-centered and we're looking at only our lives, we can come up with a page or two or three of all the things that we have got going on, and all the reasons we should worry, and all the reasons we should be upset or anxious or depressed. And when we get outside of ourselves, when we are grateful and have gratitude for the things that God has given us, I think it does, in fact, lift the burden of those very things and helps us to have freedom in these things that we're worried about, rather than being enslaved by the worry and the stress and the fear. And it takes courage to live boldly. The Christian life is a selfless life. It's a generous life. It takes faith and prayer to give sacrificially, and that can be scary. But for others, it is what makes us attractive to the unbeliever. Who is looking at you in your life, and who's inspired by the way that you live so differently when you find out that you're diagnosed with some kind of illness and yet you don't fear? When I was 20 weeks pregnant, we found out that our little girl had a cyst on her brain, and she had a bright spot on her heart that was not supposed to be there. And the doctor came in, and I have to tell you, I had so much peace about it. It was unbelievable, because the night before, I was at a worship concert and just felt like I needed to talk to God. And I said, God, if anything comes up tomorrow at the ultrasound, I just want to have peace. And sure enough, less than 24 hours later, I'm sitting in my doctor's office after the ultrasound, and he comes and he says, I have something to share with you. And told us about my little girl Blakely and her brain and her heart. And he said that this probably wasn't going to cause any major issues, but don't Google it, and you are going to go to the high-risk doctor. And so for so many women, there would be fear that just floods their mind, because this perfect little being that is supposed to be making her way into the world now is no longer perfect and is flawed and has some kind of health concerns. And so fast forward about 10 weeks and the spots are gone, guys. The spots were not even there. The brain cyst was gone. The heart bright spot was gone. And we could do nothing but cry tears of joy and just be so thankful that God had provided in this way. And I don't tell that story to say, ooh, look at me. I wasn't fearing and I'm so good and I'm such a good Christian. No, I asked God into the circumstance and he provided the peace that he promises. And if I would have worried for weeks and weeks and weeks, and then that was the result, it would have been all for naught. And guess what? Here's the flip side. Guess what? If my baby girl was born and still had that spot on her brain and still had the spot on her heart, then God is still good. And guess what? We are ambassadors for the kingdom. We are ambassadors for the gospel, and we are carriers of the message in the way that we interact with hard things, in the way that we receive news, in the way that we do life. It all matters because people, unbelievers, are looking at us and they're wondering, how does she do it? And it has nothing to do with me and my own strength. I would be a mess. I would be a disaster. I would be prideful. I would be nasty to people. I have no filter. I would be just a mean person. But with God, I can have peace and I can have grace for people. I can have love for people and I can be countercultural. So my challenge to you is fear not. He is with you. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Amen. Ladies, you are infinitely valuable. You were created with a unique set of gifts, skills, and talents created by God for his purpose and his glory. So go and be his hands and feet to this broken world. Get it, girl. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Summer Series. If you loved this episode, make sure to review, subscribe, and share with a friend. Have a great summer.